Join together in prayer. Let us pray, shall we? Dear Father, as we come to listen to your word today, we pray that that prophetic action of you speaking and us hearing and receiving your word will work out in our lives. We pray that not only will we hear your voice today, but we might be guided by your spirit throughout the coming week as we turn our eyes upon Jesus in the midst of the various parts of our occupation, of our recreation, and of the relationships you've given us in family and so on. So, Lord, as the living God, we offer ourselves, present ourselves to you today as those listening, open to your word, and pray that the Spirit will give us that receptive heart that we need. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Today's story has two people that are sort of in the centre of the action of prophecy, and they say a couple of things that help Mary to understand what's to be the case for her child. And she obviously learnt a little bit about that when she was first informed that she was going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and she knew then some things that would take place. But like all of us, we continually need a living word to come to us, to direct us and to guide us. And that consistent word would have come to Mary and to Joseph so that they were able to, years later down the track, Mary was able to understand and respond and remember these prophecies when Jesus was suffering very deeply as an adult man. She could listen back and remember that she was told that a sword would pierce her own heart. So part of the destiny of her life as her child would be for the rising and the falling of many people in Israel, but a sword going through her own heart, deep pangs of grief and sorrow would come to her through this little son. Nevertheless, he was also destined to bring light to the nations of the world, and redemption or glory, would the glory, the beauty of Israel's whole purpose as one nation would be seen in the fulfilment of this prophecy. There's a little principle in Scripture that Amos chapter 3 verse 7 has. It's sort of, you can occasionally pick out a verse in the Bible and notice that it is a principle, works out right through Scripture. And this is one of those. Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets." And so he's saying that whenever God is acting and doing particularly bigger sweeping things in history, but little personal things as well in your life, he speaks to you. And so he doesn't just act out of the blue and do random things. He speaks in accord with prophecy first coming, and then he fulfills that prophecy. That's how the world works. That's why we're secure in a plan. We are the most secure people in all of history. We understand the plan of God. We've been given the gift of faith to keep visiting that plan, seeing our part and our role in it, and knowing that this great good plan is working out through Jesus Christ. So when Simeon says this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, often when we think of destiny, someone being destined and a certain thing's going to happen, we tend to think more mechanically than relationally. And we think more fatalistically than responsively. And I'll give you an example. Today in our society, our young people, by the bucket loads, are talking about karma. Our older people are, and our people in between. You may hear them saying, "Oh, that's karma," when something happens to a you know, a nasty person who's been a murderer or something, they get cancer and die quickly. They say, ha ha ha, karma. The karma bus has arrived. You've heard that? Have you said it? Some people do. And some Christian people even get prone to think that way. We are not people of fate. That is Buddhist thinking. That is Eastern thinking. And the Buddha came and he taught people that karma was the way the world operated. In other words, impersonal, cause and effect. There's some dark force back there somehow that evens everything up. And so, you know, they would ask the Buddha things like, how come, you know, there's a poor person and a rich person, and this rich person seems to be mean and the poor person seems to be nice. It doesn't seem fair. And the answer was, karma is at work here. Karma basically is, it says in this world, nothing happens to a person that he or she does not, for some reason or other, deserve. Usually, people of ordinary intellect can't comprehend the actual reason or the reasons, the definite invisible cause or causes of the visible thing we can watch happening. It's not necessarily confined to the present life. They may be traced to approximate or remote past birth. In other words, your life is going round in circles, you're coming back reincarnated or something, and it's something happened in a previous life. Karma's now caught up to you in this life, and that's happened. Bucket loads of people believe that stuff because it's come from the East and it seems more appealing than what the Christian church's role is to bring a word and say, no, there's a prophecy, there's a prophetic word that's working out, and God is speaking to us personally and we are responding to him personally. So some will be for the rising. They will greet Jesus' words warmly. They will embrace the fact that the Saviour's arrived and their life will change for the better. Others will harden themselves and say, this is no Messiah. And they'll dig down and burrow in their heels and say, no, I'm not, if that's our God, I'm not following. And so people will, out of all of that action, it's a personal response to the living God's word, work certain things into their lives. A little simple example of the way some prophecy happens this is a bit of a loose example, but I think it still works. Two from my family. When I was about to get married to Lynn, my mum had a little quiet word to Lynn about me. And she said, Lynn, he's pretty bossy. Don't let him boss you around. Well, she could take that prophecy and reject it or believe it and adhere to it. And my goodness, she's believed that prophecy. But it's been to her benefit. Someone said, said Trevor, you're an alpha male, you know, you're kind of bossy, and I don't even know what that was, but anyway, I understand the benefits of a true word spoken, believed and received. The other example is my son-in-law came from Queensland in Townsville, and his mum, she died relatively early in his life, really, from cancer, but she said, Patrick, I pray that you will find someone who will help, you know, renew your faith, be new in faith, because, you know, we get to that age and sort of wander a bit from the foundations. Well, the very lovely thing was he came to Adelaide, and our daughter, I thought she might marry this kind of a person or that, but no, when she met Patrick, he was the guy. And beautiful things happened. They're people of faith. God has worked that out. So, again, just a little sort of a prophetic word. And so you look out for someone, and there's mum's involvement in your life. The Lord surely does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And perhaps I should add one more, because it was also significant in our family's life, as when Lynn's dad was dying and he was in hospital and in and out, and I brought a big laid-back chair up the elevator into the QEH for him, and because he couldn't lie in bed very comfortably. He said, "Oh, no, not that one, the other one." So, anyway, we got him his laid-back chair, and so the nurse came in. She said, "Oh, you can't have that in here. It hasn't been tagged. You won't be able to have that." When the matron, or whatever they call them these days, the director, the Don, director of nursing, when she gets here Monday morning, that chair won't be able to be here. And poor Jack's, you know, suffering with scab. Jack goes, he's a devout man. He prayed full of the Holy Spirit, and he was always talking about the Lord coming and that. He said, "Oh, don't worry about that." He said, "I won't be here Monday." And he died Saturday morning. So he knew, he was listening to the Lord's voice, and he knew where he was up to in life. The Lord does speak to us in these personal instances. This piece we're looking at today is in the larger framework. And, you know, you just respond. You listen to the word and you live by the word. And that's what Mary did. She was told. She knew. It was written down for her that in Leviticus, this is what she should do. So Leviticus chapter 12 says this. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying," and this is Mary's case now, "If a woman conceives and bears a male child, she shall be ceremonially unclean 7 days, as at the time of her menstruation, and she shall be unclean. On the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised." Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day. They just followed what they needed to do. "Her time of blood purification shall be 33 days. She shall not touch a holy thing or come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are completed." We read this morning there, when the days of her purification were completed, she did what the word of the Lord was telling her. She came into the temple, and right in that perfect timing, the Lord has got Simeon there and Anna there, and this coalescing together of three important people all happening at once. And she came, and what was she was to do? She shall offer before the Lord and make atonement on her behalf, then she'll be clean from her flow of blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, male or female. If she cannot afford, and she used to have to take an offering, she cannot afford sheep, she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement, so he would take that on her behalf and she'll be clean. So that's what she did. She just followed. She was a woman of God's people. That was their law. That was what they did. And, of course, by just listening to the Lord's word, doing what she needed to do, she's in the right place, and so on. Our lives are to be people who have an ear to hear. We're listening to the guidance of the Lord through a whole series of options and events in our lives. But nevertheless, the Lord is guiding us. Where we sometimes seem to go off the rails or whatever, a great grace is upon us. It's the grace of God that's training us and bringing us, helping us to live that life that the Lord wants for us. But It's a gracious and blessed life that we're being involved in. It's not fatalistic. It is not at all that way. It is we live in the grace of God. We are blessed in his plan. We live according to his purpose. I'm glad that the Lord does not operate via karma. Whew! I'd be toast by now. You know, our lives just... If we got what we deserved, my goodness me, you know, the thoughts and of our hearts and our actions and all of those things are full of wrongness. No, God, this is the merciful God who's gracious and kind. And yes, he's also shaping us up, and there also are consequences. All of Israel, you know, one king after another, after another, after another, didn't listen to the word of the Lord. They turned and did evil things, sacrificed children and all sorts of horrid things. And eventually, the Lord said, no, well, the time's coming and you'll go into exile. And so they were taken out of their land that they loved, out of their familiar circumstances. Their temple was smashed into pieces and destroyed. And they were taken away to Babylon. But that was even written down. When you turn away, if you continue to become sort of an evil people, no, I will come to you. And so the Lord's done that personally, but in covenant love for this people, still a destined people, even though they're in Babylon and they don't feel like singing any songs there at all. They're told, no, you settle down, you be a blessing to those people there, build your houses, have families. And when the time's finished, 70 years' time, I'll bring you back. We'll have a restart. G'day. G'day. It's lovely to see you this morning, Meshach. I was hoping you'd come when I got to the part where Simeon picks up the baby in his arms and says some kind words to him. I reckon this young fellow's destined to be a fine fellow. Just seems to have that about him. Anyway, there we go. He's my joyous distraction. Anyway. So point number one, the child is destined. You and I, Paul says that God has destined us for adoption as sons. We have a destiny that's been set for us. It is to be included as sons and daughters in the family of the living God. And that's what he's blessed us for. He's also fulfilled the law for us. This couple came and Jesus, on our behalf, has fulfilled the entirety of the law so that we might live through him, the righteous one, not through our own obeying of laws, but we might live by faith in him. He wants to be a drummer. Luke, I think there's possibly something prophetic going on here too. Who knows? And maybe a movie star. Who knows? The last part is the most important part in that the prophecy says that he's to be one who redeems Israel. He buys them back, purchases the nation of Israel back to God. And he is to be a light to the Gentile nations. Beautiful. All good, Luke. No worries. And so he's to be a light to the Gentile nations. So all the Gentile nations, they don't become Jewish. They don't turn into a whole globe full of Jewish people. No, Jesus, the light of his life, the goodness of his life, his love, his truth, his obedient heart to the true way and functioning of the universe, to the law of God, we are brought into that same heart within all of our various settings in various nations all over the world. So he's to be that light. That is what is taking place, and that's what our job is to be a prophetic people, is to tell. You can tell forth something that's going to happen, that's kind of prophesying ahead of a thing that's going to happen, but also just telling forth what God is doing, who the living God is, bearing witness to that. That is also our ministry, which other people are listening to and making up their minds about. I knew a young woman, a Chinese woman. She'd been brought up in Buddhist teaching, and if I said something wrong about karma that wasn't exactly correct, she would probably say, "Oh, that's not exactly how it works." So she was very thoughtful. But she would come to church, and she came for a number of years, really, just listening into talks until she was absolutely convinced something happened. The Spirit broke all that open to her, and she then needed to just sort of make sense of her lovely upbringing, how to honour her parents, what her teaching was all about. But she'd come and she'd arrived, and she's a Christian believer. I saw her the other day in the shopping centre, Christmas Eve, I think it was. Yeah. And it's very beautiful. So she has listened to the witness of that prophetic word, people around her and friends, and eventually the Spirit's opened to her what that prophecy and prophetic word was saying to her, and this is true. And now she's one of the strongest, solid Christians you'll know. Beautiful. So may the Lord add his blessing to the word today. May you be a person who knows what it is to be a prophetic church, and every church must in some ways continue to learn to be prophetic, to speak the truth into society where it's not walking according to the way that the Lord's shown us. We nevertheless speak the truth into that society and have a prophetic word. Whether people listen or whether they reject that word, we nevertheless have a charge and responsibility and a great joy to say, look, this is the thing. This is the thing, and it's been revealed to us, and Christ is Lord of this universe. He is taking it forward. It's not in chaos. It's not out of control. The whole creation's not going to just spin off its axis. There's a faithful creator who's taking it forward. There's a living king who's in charge, not Donald Trump or Joe Biden or anyone. They don't rule the world, or Bill Gates or nobody. Jesus Christ, the gracious Lord, is a real man. He's the real king of the universe. He really does rule the world. That's our message. And we proclaim that with all the love and kindness we can. But you can't unsay that. It is gladly what it is. May the Lord bless the prophetic word to you, give you good courage, and know that if the sword pierced Mary's heart, something of that kickback you will feel occasionally, and that's part of the deal as well of knowing. Shall we pray together? Dear Lord, thank you for Anna, who also said prophetic words, that she was waiting all those years. At 84 years of age, she was able to say something really profound and wonderful to the mother of our Saviour. Father, thank you that dear Simeon didn't give up his ministry when he was midway through life, but he, right to the end of his life, anticipated, Lord, that he would see the Messiah. Somehow you told him, and we believe that. And thank you that that's what happened, and he was able to pick up that little boy and say, this is the one destined as the Redeemer, the Saviour, the one sent from the Father in love for the world. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you'd be with each person here today and help us to hear your guiding voice through life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.